Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
I'm delighted to be joined by FBD brand ambassador, three-time national badminton champion and 2017 under-17 European Championship gold medalist, Nat Nguyen. FBD Insurance is a principal sponsor to Team Ireland since September of 2018. As part of its sponsorship, FBD is supporting Team Ireland's Olympic hopefuls to enable them to focus on personal bests and breakthrough performances at the Summer Olympic Games in Tokyo. Head over to FBD's social channels to see the latest in FBD's My Olympic Journey video series featuring Nat Nguyen. And Nat Nguyen is with me now. Thanks a lot for joining me, Nat. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I'm good. I'm good. And yourself?
Not too bad. No, keeping well, keeping well. I watched your FBD video earlier this morning. Very well put together, very well put together. One of the lines that stood out to me, you were asked, I think, how important is it to have the attitude that you can become an Olympic champion? And you said, obviously, in my head, I think I can do it. You're clearly a confident individual, it's fair to say.
Yeah, I feel you have to be, don't you, to be good at your work. But yeah, obviously, in my head, like I said, I think I can do it. But I'm a lot older now. I'm not that young, 12-year-old thinking that I can do this, I can do that. But there's only, if you want to win an Olympics, that is given to one person. And yeah, in my head, I feel definitely, why not me? But then I have to look at it in a bigger perspective and say, okay, what if it doesn't work out? I won't be too down or something. I have a bigger perspective now than I had when I was younger. But it was definitely in my head, I feel I can do it, yes. Well, you have to be confident in your work, yes.
Absolutely. Confident in your ability. And why wouldn't you be? For people who might not be familiar with your background, you have a Vietnamese background, a Vietnamese family, yes. Of course. And you moved over to, wasn't it, Cavan, and eventually ended up in Dublin. So maybe just give people an idea of your background for those who might not be familiar with your story.
Yeah. So we moved over, me and my parents, my sister moved over when I was 6 to Ireland, to Cavan. And yeah, looking for a better life, really. And it was a big gamble. It was a big risk to take because we had to leave everything behind in Vietnam. Family, friends, going to a new country, learning new languages, trying to fit in. The culture is different. The food, the weather is even different. So yeah, I think it was a big risk and I think it's paid off. And my parents took a big risk, yeah, and it paid off definitely, I think, yeah.
I'm sure the Vietnamese culture is something that's still very important to you. I noticed in the video as well, the lovely Vietnamese food dishes that you had serving as well. So is that something, yeah, even though you were 6 when you moved, I'm sure that's something that's still very important to you.
Yes. Yeah. I think my parents are very Vietnamese culture. So they're very, I think Vietnamese culture, you would say they're very hardworking, very, very hardworking. And yeah, we never really go away from that. We know our roots. And family's the most important thing in the Vietnamese culture. So definitely for me, I feel I am very hardworking and I feel that my family is very meaningful to me. Yeah. Yeah.
Had I read somewhere that they were so hardworking that they even had you working in the Chinese or the takeaway in Clare Hall over lockdown. Is that true?
Yes. I wouldn't say they had me. I wanted to help. Wanted to help because at the time, yeah, COVID happened and then there was no orders and then we had to let some staff go. And my mom and dad was doing everything. And so then I just wanted to help. I was doing everything, like delivery driving, doing the counter work, taking orders, cutting the food, preparing the food. So I was doing literally everything. But just again, if my family needed a little help, and of course I'm going to be there and help them when I can. Course.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. When you're not busy with training.
Yeah.
What I suppose you would have tried different sports when you were younger, but I read somewhere that you started off playing a bit of soccer, a bit of football with Woodlawn FC.
Yes.
You were a striker,
yes,
for that club based in Santry. So maybe tell us about your general sporting background first.
General sport. I think it's only been football and badminton. It's been like that. I've only played, I think, those two sports. I've played, obviously, in school and sports day, you mess around with everything, really. But, I've only really played for clubs or played at a good level for football and badminton, yeah. But I follow a lot of other sports also. I follow a lot of F1, tennis, and MMA, of course. Conor McGregor is one of my idols growing up as a teenager. Yeah, so I think I'm a huge fan of MMA, and I still watch UFC fight nights most weeks. Yeah.
Do you remember the first time then you held a badminton racket in your hand and you thought, right, this is something I'm going to pursue further?
Yeah, I definitely remember when holding it, but I didn't have that vision of saying this is something that I had to this is something that I want to do in the future, because I didn't like it. I didn't start, to be honest, playing badminton. It was just something that I started to do when we moved over to Ireland, because I was bored. I just followed my dad. That's how I got into it, to the local hall. And yeah, that's one of the reasons why I started, just to not be bored and just do something during the day and just try, and also to fit in. It was tough moving over to Ireland as a 6-year-old, not knowing the language. To be honest, I didn't even know I was going to move over to Ireland. I don't know what was going on at the time. So yeah, it was one of the ways to try to fit into the culture and try to get to learn the language and to adapt to the new culture.
Most Irish people will be familiar with badminton, and maybe not at an Olympic level, but for some people who maybe don't know much about the sport or only watch it in passing, maybe what sort of skills does it take? What sort of strength does it take for someone? I'm sure reaction speeds are very important, but for someone who maybe doesn't watch much badminton, what do you need to be working on week in, week out?
To be honest, badminton is one of the most complete sport, I think. There's physical, mental side of it. You can name out speed, endurance, strength, power, because you need everything to put it in together, and then you need to have a cool head to think, all right, to outmaneuver your opponent, to outthink your opponent, and obviously your reaction has to be insanely quick, because the shuttle's coming at you. I don't know, the fastest smash is like 400 kilometers per hour, so the shuttle can come at you at that speed. So you have to be lightning quick, and then you have to react, but you also have to be in control and be productive. So it's like a chess game, a very, very physical chess game, I would say.
How do you practice the reaction speeds? I've seen the videos of different people doing, and I guess Formula One drivers do it as well.
Yeah,
where you drop the tennis balls.
They drop the ball and cuss. Yeah, that is one of our practices. We have our hand-eye coordination session. We do that. We actually do that. And yeah, it's, to be honest, if you're always hitting the shuttle and always training shuttle coming fast at you in routines, that's basically practicing your reactions as well. And yeah, I think that's, we don't really focus on that, because that just comes with training, because the shuttle is always coming fast at you. And also, but there are different exercises off court you can do, where you can just patch one eye or something like that and really try to focus on your action with one eye. Then you take it off and then everything's a lot slower. So that could help, yeah.
You were probably luckier than some in lockdown, in that you had, you can correct me if I'm wrong, your sister had the CrossFit gym and you had the shuttle machine as well. That must have helped to have that facility even during lockdown.
Yes, I think that was, if I didn't have that, I would have went crazy a little bit. For me not to train every day would be a big shock to my system. But I was in the gym literally most days of the week, just working. I was doing CrossFit workouts. I was just trying to stay in shape. And then I was trying to do little things to improve my technical side of the game. And yeah, I was doing some couple of videos and watching my opponent's games and watching my games, see what I can improve on. So there's definitely, in lockdown, there's loads of other things you can improve except than being on court. So that's what I focus on all the off-court sides of the game aspect. And yeah, I was very lucky. I was very lucky that my sister owns a gym and I could just pop down and get a workout in or do a little workout with her. It was just something that, to keep you going.
I'm always fascinated, and you mentioned a couple of those sports there, the psychology of the individual sports, like tennis players like Federer and Nadal, and in Formula One even the likes of Hamilton, Max Verstappen, and even in play, Ronnie O'Sullivan in snooker or boxers, individual versus team sports. What has you drawn to the individual sport as opposed to playing with a team?
Yeah, I think for the individual sport, it's only you. You can only blame yourself. It's you that's hitting the shoulder of the net. But if you're in a team sport, in your football, you could have a great game as a striker and then your team lose. And then your defenders can make one mistake and that could cost it. And that's not in your control. So, but with in the individual sport, what kind of like about it, it's just you. If you play well, you play really well. If you play bad, it's you. There's nothing else affecting you. You're the one that's in control. So I think that I like being responsible for my results. Let's say, yeah. I think that's the main.
I've seen it's a fair point. I've seen a lot of people. And I guess individual sports people do this a lot as well, where they write things down and give themselves goals. I've seen in the video as well, you have some quotes and I guess motivational things written at the end of your bed even.
Yeah. It's just something I wake up and I see every single day. It's just something that gets me out of bed, something that motivates me, something that drives me. If you're waking up and you feel bad, you just look, oh, shit. All right, this is the goal that I want. I need to be feeling better. I need to do something to get myself feeling better. So to produce that goal, to even try to get close to it. So that's something that's been a great help for me, because when obviously you don't wake up feeling great every single day. Mm. So it's just something to remind you of what your really goal and what your main reason or your why, and why are you doing this exactly. Something to push you, yeah.
One of the quotes I saw that you have written on your wall, it's what you do in the dark that puts you in the light. That's a great quote. That's probably something that, you know, on days where you wake up and you maybe don't feel like training that day or something, that's probably something that gives you that little extra bit of motivation maybe.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to waste one single session, a bad training session, when you know it's you can make it good. So it's, and also that quote, I think, it says a lot about me as well. I like to work extra when no one's looking or something like that, and no one is watching, and put in the work when no one's there also. That's when I feel the real work is done, because everyone is training 9 to 11, 4 to 6. That's the typical badminton training, but no one's training 9 to 11, then doing a little extra for half an hour between that, then after training, doing a little extra half an hour. No one's seen that part. And over time, that adds up. And I feel if you're consistent and you're really motivated and driven and you can keep that up, then you can be successful. Then you can produce good things. Yeah. So it's, yeah.
And like, do you have someone like maybe, I guess Team Ireland and all the athletes are provided with these if they want them or want to avail of them, but someone like a sports psychologist, someone who, you know, you can go and talk to on the good days or the bad days, or maybe is it your family members that maybe fill that, I guess, role as well?
Yes, I feel I do have a psychologist in the institute, but I think I work with everyone around me. I just talk to, you can learn anything from anyone, I feel. So especially to my coaches, psychologists, and my family members and my close friends, my few close friends only. But yeah, we definitely talk and like share your ideas and experience, and that's, and your emotion and your feelings. And definitely if you share your feelings with someone and they felt the same, and maybe they could help you and guide you. I don't think it's just a psychologist. I think you can learn from anyone and take something from anyone, really.
Well, how big a moment, so you're what, 20 years of age now, Nat, is it?
Yes, so, 20, so like, yes.
How big a moment was London 2012, those Olympics, where you were probably 11 or 12 years of age, watching those games on the TV? When you saw the badminton on the TV at the London Games, was that a key turning point for you, in a moment where you thought, okay, this is a sport I'm really going to knuckle down with?
Yeah, I think my hero at the time was in the final. His name was Lee Chan Wei from Malaysia, and he lost the final very closely. And I was devastated. I think I cried a little bit. And it hit me when he lost. And I was watching the game. I was like, I want to do that. I want to be in the Olympic final. I want to be there. I believe I can be there. I see myself there. So that's something that was in my head after. I was like, I then my favorite player lost, and I was like, I want to avenge his defeat. I want to win for him or something as a young kid. Well, that's when it kind of, you know, clicked me, like, right, if you want it, just go for it. Just click and just give it your best shot. And yeah, here we are now.
And I guess we need personalities like that in sports like badminton to keep the interest up and to increase the interest even further. We had our own Scott Evans in yes. Rio in 2016, and, you know, getting to the last 16 and ripping off the shirt and all that stuff. Yeah. How big an inspiration was that for you, you know, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, it was huge. I remember I was playing a competition during that, but I was just watching the game while I was should be focusing for the little competition that I had, but I was just watching him. Yeah, winning and then taking his shirt off. I remember that day actually quite very well. But yeah, that's something that I like to do in this game coming up, to make the last 16, to get out with the group stage, to win matches, to beat. If you want to get to the last 16, you have to win the group, and to win the group, you have to beat a seed, which is top 16, one of the top 16 players in the world. So that was very tough, very hard challenge, but I definitely feel that I have that in my arsenal. And on any given day, I can produce a result. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure, like, even the likes of Sam and Chloe McGee and Scott Evans as well, I'm sure you've you know, gone to them for advice at different points. Have they been good and forthcoming with their advice and help around you know, little things that are pointers that you want to pick up for your own career?
Yeah, definitely. Sam and Chloe, I've been practicing with them since 13, 14. So they've always given me, and we play for the same club, and we're always literally traveling with each other for the last how long, I can't remember. And there's always something you can learn from them, because they're so much vastly experienced than me. And it's all the little things, that little chats we have, that I just take from them. And they probably don't know it, but I take a lot from them and how they train, how they practice, and how focused they are. And even Scott, I was practicing with Scott in Denmark for the last 2 months of last year, 2-3 months of last year. So he was a great help to me. He was very supportive when I was over in Denmark training. So yeah, they've been a massive influence on me and my development. And definitely someday I will have to give back in some way. And yeah.
I know a few years ago, I remember hearing an interview with you, and you were talking about balancing your leaving cert at the St. David's CBS in RTN with your practice. How much easier, or is it easier now that you just have the badminton to concentrate on? Because I know back then you're probably juggling a few different balls and trying to concentrate on a few different things, but at least now you have that ultimate focus, which is Tokyo.
Yes. At the time, because since I finished school and I came out of school, I just trained badminton full time, and my expectation went up because now I'm training full time and the results should be better than I was in school when I was a little bit less focused than I was now. But I think that expectation kind of decreased my form a little bit. So I think you have to balance it as well. You need to find a good distractions also outside of badminton than just only badminton. So definitely I've recently enjoyed my time off badminton, like just spending a lot more time with my family, for example, or just going for doing the things that I like to do and just not only focusing on badminton. So I just, you appreciate these times more. And then the badminton starts to get better. I think when I was in school, I had less expectation because I wasn't training properly. I was probably training once, or I wasn't training enough to be a professional badminton player. So my expectation was lower, but I played a lot better. But now I've come out of being in school, I'm training every day, twice a day. My expectation is higher, but somehow my results are just literally like below par sometimes. So I think I had to find the right balance also. And I'm finding the right balance now, and what works for me and what works for me.
It's an impressive maturity to hear you speak about, you know, family and noticing the important things. Even in the video, the FBD video, you said family is very important. Do what makes you happy, yeah, and do it with the people that you love. And that I guess has lockdown taught you, and I'm sure other sports people are the same, that this this driven goal of just winning, it's probably put things in perspective for you, has it, over the last 12 months?
Definitely. And definitely within the last 12 months, I've matured a lot. But yeah, then the last 12 months, I realized the importance of family and my family and how supportive, how important they are in my life. Without them, I probably wouldn't even be in Ireland now. Without my parents, I wouldn't be even be in Ireland now. So yeah, it's definitely the last 12 months has grown on me and helped me mature wise. Just again, see things from different perspective that, all right, it's not about badminton. It's not about always winning in badminton. It's about your loved ones. It's about enjoying your time, and it's about spending it with the people you love and spending it with positive people that helps you grow. My family. So that's my family. So exactly. I just realized these things. And yeah, I think that's, and then that helps my badminton game. So I think trying to find that balance is, I'm starting to find my little my balance now. So that's, and then my badminton game, I feel, is it's improving and getting better each day because I have this maturity and this perspective in my life. So definitely within the last 12 months, I've matured a lot and grew as a person. Yeah.
Do you think finally then, Nat, that will help you for Tokyo? Because I know a lot of Irish athletes and athletes all over the world were very disappointed when the Olympics were cancelled or rescheduled because of COVID. But are you almost glad in a way now that you've got the extra 12 months to prepare and to mature as well, as you said?
Yes. It's like a blessing in disguise. I have 12 months to get better physically, mature, just grow, learn more things on court. So I think that 12 months of pure growth for me, I'm a totally different person than I am now than I was 12 months ago. That's the way I feel. So I'm a lot better version of myself now than 12 months ago. So it's gives me a better chance to produce and to make a result in Tokyo. So I definitely feel, with the pandemic and the postponement of the games, it worked in my favor. And yeah, everything happens for a reason. So maybe that's the reason.
Exactly. Well, Nat, listen, I love your confidence and I love your outlook. And I can only wish you the best of luck with everything over the next coming months and the training. And no doubt you will perform, and I'm sure you will put on a great show and have the shirt ripped off like Scott Evans at some point with a big win.
Yes. This shirt is quite hard to rip off, but I will try. I will work on it.
It's too nice a shirt to rip. FPD wouldn't be too happy with that.
Yes.
But I should mention then, just for people who didn't hear at the start, FPD Insurance, principal sponsor to Team Ireland since September 2018. And as part of that sponsorship, FPD is supporting Team Ireland's Olympic hopefuls, including Nat Nguyen, to enable them to focus on personal bests and breakthrough performances at these Summer Olympic Games in Tokyo. And as I said, you can head over to FPD's social channels to see the latest in FPD's My Olympic Journey video series featuring Nat Nguyen. Nat Nguyen, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you this afternoon, and very best of luck with the coming months.
Thank you very much for having me, Shane. Really enjoyed it.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.